I don't know if y'all been watching, but our praise guys have been doing an amazing job of bringing us into a time of worship, and I want to thank them for just being willing to use their talents and helping us as we worship together. Well, I want to welcome you here this Mother's Day morning, and glad that you are a part of our time together. I really don't have a passage of scripture we're going to be looking specifically at this morning. We're going to kind of jump from place to place, so just kind of hang in there with me. But we're going to be looking at a heart of worship is what we're going to be dealing with. But this is our Mother's Day, and Mother's Day is a day that we honor our moms for all that that they have done for us. We try to encourage them, and we try to acknowledge all the things that they have done for us. And looking back in life, you know, I look at what Mom did for me and for my brother, and what an amazing thing she sacrificed for us, and we praise the Lord for that. We realize that we would not be the people we are without our moms, and I thank the Lord for my mom, and I pray that you do too. You know, being a mom is not easy. It's kind of like that great theologian Dorothy off the Golden Girls said. Y'all know her. She said, "It isn't easy being a mom. If it was easy, dads would do it." So, and I think she was telling the truth. There's something that moms can only do. So. But what do we do to honor our moms? Well, normally, I don't know if you're like me, but my brother and I, we'd try to buy our mother stuff, you know, and usually it was something that she didn't want and she wouldn't use, but you would never realize it with the response that she would give. It was always perfect. It was something that was she had always wanted. It was those things. It was that perfect gift, and, you know, we'd probably, you know, stuff that she wouldn't use, but we tried to bless her. We tried to pamper her. We would always try to take her out to eat, and mother was not one that wanted to go out to eat. She would rather have us around her table spending time with her, and that's really kind of what she wanted. Now, we would always try to tell her how much she meant to us, and that would be something that would bless her, but really what my mom wanted, and I know a lot of moms wanted, was for my brother and I to live a life that would put joy in her heart for us becoming everything that she knew and wanted us to be. I mean, that was the best thing for her, is that we would live that life that would bring joy to her heart, because we are living out the reality of what she felt we were created to be and to become. You know, when we talk about moms, we bring that word worship in. And, you know, I know a lot of people that say, well, I worship the ground that my mom walks on, and there's a lot of reason why we ought to do that. But truly, today we're going to talk about worship. But worship is really limited to worshiping God. And there's a passage in the Ten Commandments, in Exodus chapter 20, where God says that we are to have no other gods before Him, and we're to worship Him. It's kind of interesting, though, when Jesus was taken out by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, the last temptation that Satan made, and if you look in Matthew chapter 4, you find what Satan wanted Jesus to do. And he showed him everything. And he said, "You see everything out here. I will give you everything if you will bow down and worship me." It is that idea that he wanted to be worshiped. You remember what Jesus said, how he responded? He said, "You will worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve." Now, that's really what it's all about. It's worshiping God. Now, Jesus was actually quoting Deuteronomy when he made that statement. And in the Hebrew, the word that's used is that you are to fear the Lord your God, and him only are you to serve. It's interesting the way that Moses wrote that. You're to worship Elohim, the Lord your Yahweh. Elohim is the plural of God. It is the fullness of God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But then also, you are to worship the God who is that personal God. And him alone are you to serve. And so when we start thinking about worship, we got to realize that worship is connected with fearing God and honoring God. And then Jesus was asked by that lawyer in Matthew chapter 22. He says, okay, what is the great commandment? And Jesus, you remember Jesus' response? It was that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And the second is likened to it, that you love others as yourself. And then you remember how he finished that? He said, and all of the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. So when we start thinking about worship, we realize that worship has to do with fearing God, of serving God, of loving God. And as we're here in this place today, I want us to understand that we have come to worship God. So when you came to worship today, what were you expecting to do? Was it just about singing some songs, or was it about hearing a sermon, or was it really a response to the truth that God was going to reveal to you? Worship is more than a service. Worship is responding to God. And what does that look like? Well, if I'm going to worship, I've got to honor the one being worshiped, and I must see him for who he is and who I am. It really carries the idea of surrender. You see, if I'm going to worship God, I got to realize that he is everything, and I am really not much of anything. He is all-powerful, and I am powerless. He has knowledge and wisdom, and I lack knowledge and wisdom. So when I come to worship God, I've got to come realizing that his truth is the truth that I need in life, and I need to surrender under his truth. But it's also that idea of fear. You know, the Hebrew, to fear really means to tremble in his presence. If we're going to worship God, we got to come realizing who he is and realizing how powerful he is, how holy he is, and that we have been invited into his presence. Now, I don't know about you, but that gives me a little bit of fear when I realize that I am coming into the presence of an almighty, all-powerful, holy, righteous God. I've got to fear him. But that word fear also means to reverence him. It also means to hear what he has to say. And it also means to obey. You see, really, in the Hebrew understanding of fearing someone, you've got to really obey them. You've got to hear what they say and live the way they want us to live. So if we're going to worship God in fear of God, it is coming into his presence to receive his truth with the fear of hearing it and living it out in life. But it also has this idea of worship, also has the idea of love. And when Jesus made that statement, you're to love the Lord your God, he used that word agape. And we know that agape love is that unconditional love. It's that self-giving, self-sacrificing, unconditional love. So when I come into worship God, it is as I am coming to give him all that I am, everything that I am, expecting nothing in return. Worship also has this idea of exalting Him, of declaring His glory. Actually, we are to glorify Him by making Him known in the world. We're called to be the witness, the testimony of the glory of God, and to make His glory known in the world. To worship means that I come to give. To give of myself, my time, my talents, my resources, my possessions. And I'm to give them to Him and for Him that they can be used for His glory. I'm to give joyfully all that I have. To worship also means that we come to serve. Him alone will we serve. And that word to serve is really talking about being under authority, under submission to hear what He has to want me to do, and then being willing to go and obey that truth. You see, real worship is really our positive response of God's revelation of Himself and His truth, by unconditionally giving myself and my love to Him and serving Him obediently. That's worship. That's what we're called to do. We are called to worship God. And when we don't, we enter into idolatry because we put other things ahead of God, and He does not desire that. So how does worship in our New Testament present context look like? Well, it's holy living. It's living in such a way that we are living blamelessly in the world, declaring His praise so that the world can see the glory of who God is. Can I tell you that our worship today in our context of what a believer is really doesn't have that much correlation to ritual, but it has more to do with living out revealed truth in a way that honors and glorifies God. Peter he wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. He says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus." You see, that's what we are supposed to do. We are to worship God. We are to make spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. We know that verse 9 a lot better. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of Him that called you out of darkness into His amazing, marvelous, wonderful light." That's worship. That's living out the revelation of God's truth in the world, in the darkness of this world, to bring light to the world so that they can experience life that only comes in Jesus. This morning, I kind of wanted to contrast the difference between Old Testament worship and New Testament worship. In Old Testament worship, you had prescribed feasts and days. You had the seven feasts that you were to partake in, and then you had your Sabbath days, the special Sabbath days that you were to go to the temple and worship, or to Jerusalem, but they were prescribed days. Do you realize in the New Testament, there are no prescribed days? The only really format that the New Testament gives us is in found when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, when she said that the Father, when he said that the Father was looking for those that would worship in spirit and in truth. Now, that's the way we're called to worship God, is spirit and truth. Now, spirit without truth is heresy. Truth without spirit is legalism. And neither one of those, spirit without truth or truth without spirit, that's not worship. So you can have a lot of head knowledge of what the Bible says and not worship God. We're called to worship in spirit and in truth. We need to realize that God has called us to worship every day. You know, I said in the first service, and I want to remind you, as Baptists, we sometimes think that Sunday is the day of worship. And can I tell you, that is heresy. It's not the day of worship. It is a day of worship. But every day is a day of worship. And we are called to be worshipers of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We don't have prescribed days. In the Old Testament, you had to go to the temple. You had to go to Jerusalem. Or maybe to a holy place, a synagogue, if you weren't close. But in the New Testament, we have no holy places to go to worship. This building is not a holy place. You see, it's not the temple. Matter of fact, the temple is you, if you're a child of God. Our bodies are the temple of God. And so we are to worship Him wherever we are. In the Old Testament, they had a sacrificial system. Animals were sacrificed to pay the penalty of sin for a period of time. The New Testament, we don't have that sacrificial system because Jesus, the Lamb of God, has been sacrificed once and for all, and His blood covers all the sin of the world eternally. We don't have to worry about that. But we are called to offer up sacrifices of praise. We're also called to offer up our bodies as a living sacrifice, as Romans chapter 12 tells us, holy, acceptable, which is our reasonable act of worship. We're to be living sacrifices, lifting up praise to God for calling us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. In the Old Testament, there was a group of people, the priests, that led in worship. But in the New Testament, there are no priests in that sense. But there are priests because we are all priests. That's what he said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people. That's what the priests were. They were a special group that went into the presence of God. Now, we all are those priests, that we can enter into the presence of God individually and offer up our praise to God. In the Old Testament, it was about ritual and religion. In the New Testament, Jesus brought us to this place of realizing that it's not about religion and ritual. Religion and ritual ought to bring us to a personal relationship with God. And that's what it's all about. Worship is living out this personal worship of God. So what are our spiritual sacrifices that we need to be making as worshipers of God? Well, we need to live holy lives. That's kind of one of those duh moments. Yeah, we need to live holy before God. We need to spend time with God. We are to have grateful hearts for all that he has done for us, both good and bad. I want to remind you, everything that God allows in your life, there's nothing bad that God allows in your life. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't think it's bad, because there's some things that don't feel good, and so some things that are difficult and those things. But everything that God allows in our life is really good, because we get to know him in a personal way through it. We're to have grateful hearts for everything that God brings into our life. We're to give ourselves completely to him, to be used by him for whatever he wants to do. We're to serve others for his glory. And we are to have a heart of joy. That's what Ted was talking about. Rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. We are to be joyful people. So what I really want us to understand is every day and all of life is to be an act of worship to our God, our King, our Redeemer. How did the early church worship? Well, he did several things. You can go to Acts chapter 2. Verse 41 through 47, and it really gives us a view of what they did, how they worshiped. And it's pretty cool, because the first thing they did is they devoted themselves to be trained in truth. Now, the word didache is the word we get for teach, but it has more of a meaning than that. It means to be trained in. I've been trying to learn Spanish, and I get a little bit, and I lose a little bit. You know, I learn some more, and then I'm back and forth. And the reason why that I don't retain all of what I'm trying to learn is because I'm not practicing it. I'm not using it daily. You know, we've got to realize that what God is wanting to do, he's wanting to train us in how to live daily. And it is that second principle of fellowship. You know, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. The word fellowship there is the word koinonia. And we like that as Baptists, because we think it has something to do with food. But it really doesn't. Koinonia means to participate in, with. You see, what made that early church so amazing, that God was adding to their number daily, those that were coming to Christ, was because they were participating in the truth that God was giving them. They were partners in it. And this participation in truth is with accountability. You see, they were together. We can't practice God's truth unless we are accountable to one another. That's why we are in the body of Christ. We are accountable. Now, that accountability is not me putting my thumb on you and saying, you're not memorizing Scripture the way you ought to. It is being willing to be open and say, you know, I am trying to learn how to practice the principles that God has given me. Can you help me become all that God wants me to be? They were participating together in practicing truth. They were committed to the covenant relationship with conviction. The early church realized that it was the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, he is our New Testament. He is our new covenant. His blood is the covenant of the new covenant that gives us life eternal. They were committed to that covenant. They were committed to Jesus. And they did it with conviction. Nothing would sway them from the truth of living for the glory of God, of worshiping Jesus day by day by day by day. They were committed to those convictions and that covenant. They desired to commune with God in corporate prayer. I like that. You know, every time, in the first part of Acts, there's a couple of different times in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 6, where the church came together. They were one mind, one body. really? And they entered into prayer. And you know what happened? Amazing things happened when the church was of one mind, one heart, praying together. If we want to see those things that happened in that early church happen in our church, it will be as we come with one mind, one heart, bombarding heaven with our desire to glorify Him. And then they were living transformed lives. They had testimonies of a transformed life. I mean, look at the life of Paul. I mean, he was the one that was going to Damascus to kill Christians, and God meets him on the highway, and it changed his life. And now he's preaching Jesus wherever. Even if he's stoned, even if he's shipwrecked, even if people are trying to kill him, he's still out there worshiping Jesus. Now that's a transformed testimony of life. That's the early church. And they were singing to the Lord with hearts of joy, making melody in their hearts, as Ephesians talks about, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. One of the things I learned this weekend that I really never knew before was found in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, the last part. And it talks about that the Father had anointed Jesus with the oil of gladness. It says that He had anointed Him with the oil of gladness beyond His companions. The thing that made Jesus, Jesus, was He had a heart of joy. He had a heart of gladness. He had a heart that was just amazed to get up and serve the Lord every day. Now, we're called to be just like Jesus. If we're going to worship the way God wants us to worship, it will be as we are joyful and have hearts full of gladness. So I guess the question today is, how are we to worship? And can I tell you, we're to worship with the same heart and the same mind as the early church did. Truly, we ought to be living life in such a way that it brings joy to God's heart, because we're becoming everything He created us to be. Now, wait a minute. Wasn't that what we said about mamas? What made a mama's heart just joyful was that we would live out our lives in such a way that we were becoming everything that she thought we could be. Huh. It's almost like the Father has a mother's heart. That's backwards. The Father gave mothers their heart. You know, to glorify God, to live for Him, fulfills our purpose and brings joy to His heart. Join me in prayer. Father, we come to You today. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to be in this place again, gathered with brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can lift up praise to the name of the One that gives us life, the One that called us out of darkness and into that marvelous, amazing, wonderful light of life that's from You. And so, Lord, my prayer today is that we would be convicted, that You would cleanse our heart, that You would restore that right spirit within us, that You would give us that joy that David knew, and that we would worship You today and every day in a way that brings glory to your name. Father, give us your heart. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to ask that you stand to your feet. We're going to have a time of, guys are going to sing. But I want you to just ask God, how's my worship? Is it acceptable in your sight? What do I need to get rid of? What do I need to bring in so that my worship, my day, my living is for your glory? And whatever he says, will you say, yes, Lord?
Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Speak to my heart today.
Amen. You can look this way. God is good.
All the time.
Is he not that good? God is good.
All the time.
There you go. And all the time.
I
hope that you believe that. We're about to enter out into the world that needs to see his goodness through our lives. Amen. And I want to encourage you to do that. I've got a couple of announcements that I want to remind you of. This is normally our time of worship and giving. You'll notice that we got some of our offering plates in the back. We're encouraging you to continue to worship and giving so that Kentucky Town can continue the ministry that God has given us for so many years. Please do that. Also, another exciting announcement is that we got notified last week that our app has been approved. Our individual church Kentucky Town Baptist app that you'll be able to put on your smartphone or your tablet, and you'll be able to get a lot of information. You'll be able to see the live streaming and also any other of our videos and things of the past. You can be able to pull up other sermons or whatever. You can also have, it's going to have our calendar on there to keep you abreast of all the things that are going on. It's going to have a prayer wall that you can make prayer requests to and from. It's going to be really good. It's going to be an amazing thing. So it's been approved, and they're going to be sending us out this coming week the package on how we get it out to you guys. So be in looking for an email from me with the link that will enable you to get it on your phone, get it on your tablet, and stay in contact with Kentucky Town Baptist Church. Also want to encourage you to remember that we're meeting on Wednesday night, 6:30. We're meeting virtually Wednesday night at 6:30 from my office, and I want to encourage you to be a part of that Bible study and prayer time. I want to hear your prayer requests and your praise reports. Please send it to me, gwadeallen@gmail.com. I'd love to pray with you what God's doing, what you're asking God to do, and so please let me hear the praise and the prayer requests that you have, and I know that we're going to be experiencing some amazing things in the future. God is about to do some amazing things with us and through us as we worship him. All right, it's time to head out into the mission field and worship God. Lead us in our song.
Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of his children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail, he must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. God bless you.